right, which we all have, yes. Okay, there's another committee in that side, please. This side we are also checked. Thank you very much. Shall we then start? Well, to provide God's guidance in our work, shall we close our eyes and observe a moment of silence for prayer and meditation. Well, ladies and gentlemen, honourable members, I would like to welcome you to this meeting. I would also like to welcome the officials of the Department of Higher Education and Training, media, students from UCT, social policy and management, members of the public and other distinguished guests. Thank you very much for showing interest in our work. Talking to the students now, and indeed I believe that you will benefit from our engagement this morning. Well, today's meeting is the continuation of the deliberations on the bill, the clause by clause exercise. The committee will be voting on the bill on the 4th of May 2016. Now, from where I'm sitting, it means we will, today we'll only be voting on the clauses, and then we then vote on the overall bill on the 4th of May 2016. Are we in agreement on the procedure? Are we all in agreement? Agreed. Ms. Killian, I don't see you. Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Well, I'm looking forward to another constructive engagement by the honourable members and meaningful contribution to the process. And as we engage, I still want to appeal to honourable members to rise above political party lines and focus on a piece of legislation, a quality piece of legislation that will take the education system to greater heights in South Africa. Not about our political ideology, it's about what would be the best interest of the education system, particularly higher education system for the country. So we will then move on to item number two, which is apologies.
Thank you, Chair. We received apologies from Professor Pozzoli, Mr. Kassin, and Professor Snog. We also received apologies from the Ministry, from the Minister, who is attending the Cabinet today, as well as the Deputy Minister. Thank you, Chair.
Well, thank you very much. I just wanted clarity. Also to indicate that Mr. Waters has joined the committee representing DA in the absence of the two members of DA. And in terms of the rules, he can participate fully as a member of the committee. Right, thank you very much. So we now move on to item number three, which is introduction. I just want to check if there's any member who needs any introduction. So I think we may proceed. I've just introduced Mr. But maybe you can speak so that you know, break the ice and help us to familiarize ourselves with your voice in this meeting.
Thank you, Jay. I thought you would have heard my voice by now, but it's fun. Thank you for the warm welcome. It's great to be here and serving in the committee again. I haven't been in the portfolio committee for 2 years, but it happens to be become deputy chief of seven other committees. So I'm looking forward to the engagement with the members and the officials as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So we will now move on to item number 4, which is consideration of minutes. I'm sorry, consideration of the Higher Education Amendment Bill, B36 of 2015, clause by clause. Right, okay. But before we start, I've just been corrected here, but please let us assist one another. I am now informed by the contest advisor that when we vote on clauses, we all vote on the bill in one day. So can we be corrected? Because whatever we do, it must be correct first time around. I thought today we are voting just on the clauses and then on the fourth we vote on the overall bill. So this is the advice that we're getting. So being that, today we'll just, again, bless you. I think today we'll, again, work on consensus. So we can't vote on this consensus. We can't vote on the losses today. Then it should be consensus. Agreed. It's a correction. Remember, we are advised. I'm not sure why this advice came a little late, but we have an advice now in front of us.
Sorry, shouldn't we, if we are voting clause by clause, shouldn't we be voting this? I mean, I don't know how one, unless it's, unless you just put the clause as no objection, as obviously agreement. I think that would be the way it is. If our objection is certain clauses, I think we should be able to express that objection.
Okay,
I would agree with that. If we look at the rule and if we look specifically at the report that must be compiled, it has to specify each amendment, if an amendment bill, other than a redraft of the bill, was agreed on it by it, and each amendment that was considered and for a reason other than it is being out of order was rejected by it. It must specify each amendment rejected by it. On the committee, if a redrafted bill was agreed on it by, and it must, if it is not a unanimous report, specify in which respect there was no consensus. So I think what is important is that, as Honourable Waters has suggested, we move through the clauses, you then pose the question if there are any objections, and then if there are, then obviously we vote on it. And then, you know, that express, we can capture the concerns in the report to comply with Rule 251, 3C. Thank you very much.
All right. No, thank you very much. As we feel like there's consensus on the procedure to be followed. All right, shall we then? Right, shall we then move with the consideration of the Higher Education Amendment Bill? But before that, you will remember that Honourable Member Kasim indicated the intent to sponsor some redrafting of a certain clause. We said he must do it in writing. And indeed, Honourable Member Kasim has made that submission. I would like us to look at the statute and then his disposal and then we focus on the clause. Agreed? Now, Honourable Member Kasim here is addressing clause 22 and he is proposing that the meaning of monsoon clause 22 sub-clause 2 is proposing that the minister must, as soon as practicable, but not exceeding 60 days of receiving the report referred to in subsection 1, provide a copy of the report referred to in subsection 1 to the council concerned, table the report before the National Assembly for consideration by the relevant committee, and publish such report in the Gazette. So that's proposal on clause 22, sub clause 2. I would like members to engage on this one. Our members agree with this proposal, and if agreed, we will move on to the next proposal.
From the reporting side, we can just ask the committee maybe to consider the time frame of the 60 days. Maybe if they can maybe extend it for a slightly longer period of 90 days. The reason for that is that the report is going through an evaluation by the department, and also it must be published in the day. And it is the normal approach is the 90 day time frame, and it's in line with that practice. That our proposal is put into the committee for consideration, and it will assist that there is a compliance with all the issues coming from the report when the taking place, and the order on it will be able to provide an updated approach on that outcome of that report as well. So here it is just unfair that we ask the committee maybe to consider.
Now, do you have any proposal? Maybe 90 days instead of 60 days, okay? There is another proposal of instead of 60 days, as considering 90 days of receiving the report. This comes from Advocate Boshoff. Honourable members,
Kilian,
Honourable members,
I just need clarity about this. In other words, what Honourable Kilian is doing, he is regarding the current provision in Clause 22 and Subsection 1, and therefore he is introducing a new Subsection 2, is an insertion. So that entire section is a new one. Not only the underlined words. So the issue now comes, if we look at the 90-day period, the issue is, do we really need a report? Because the committee will consider the matter. Well, you know, the minister can submit it to the assembly, but I was just wondering if it must be going to the National Assembly or it must be submitted. I'm not clear. Could Honourable Water please tell us what is the intention of the latter part of you subsection 2? So that we can just all be on the same page as far as that is concerned.
Okay. And then there's another view on the table that says it does look like we're introducing a new subdoc. And I know that procedure dictates on what should happen if we introduce a new clause, and I think to me that would also apply to a new sub-clause, which was not there originally on the bill. So if we can get clarity on that one, Advocate Mvudu.
Chairperson, particularly if you are introducing a new clause or a new amendment in the bill and it's already in front of the committee, you need to request the permission of the assembly in order to do that, Chairperson, which in this instance is would be applicable.
So, where is our senior advisor? I would like to hear you on this one.
Okay. My understanding, Chair, would be that as long as the amendment has not deviated from policy that is there in the bill, as long as it doesn't use anything new that was not in the policy in the bill. So we already considering the principal act. So this is an amendment that is introduced to Section 47(2) of the current act. So I think the committee would be entitled to look into that, and if it didn't fit, then look at it.
Meaning that it should not be necessary that this process goes via parliament.
Okay, if we were introducing new policies that was not there in the first parliament, then you need to go via the assembly.
I'm okay. Osho? You're okay. Honorable member, Killer?
I also concur. Chairman, I would love to refer you to the specific rule in the International Safety Rule Book.
Okay.
It is Rule 2493A. The committee must inquire into the subject of the bill and report on it to the assembly. B. If it is a bill amending provisions of legislation, may seek the permission of the assembly to inquire into amending other provisions of that legislation. In other words, since this is already being amended, there's nothing that would stop us from amending it further. But say, for instance, there are several clauses in the original bill, or the original act. If we were to introduce any of the others, then we would have had, then we would require the Assembly's permission to do that. But this is a clause which is serving through the current legislative draft amendment law before us. So we can, you know, we can amend it further.
Honourable Member Waters?
Well, Chair, yeah. I agree with what's being said. The fact is, if you look at the original law, Section 47.2, it reads currently that the Minister must, as soon as practically, the Minister must, as soon as practicable, I can't even read it. Provide a copy of the report. Referring to Section 1, to the Council concerned, to publish such report in the Gazette. Right? Now, the Honourable team is suggesting that we amended to Subsection 2, which all got copies of, and hence, not everything is underlined, because what is not underlined is currently in the bill. And all we're doing is inserting the underlined words, which are, but not to exceed 60 days of receiving the report referred to in Subsection 1. And it continues, and table the report before the National Assembly for consideration by the relevant committee, which would be this committee. And the motivation for that, Chairperson, is that this empowers Parliament generally, but this committee specifically, to apply its mind and make more informed decisions of the relevant circumstances that are in the report. And Donald's team is just trying to make authors of the report, the recommendations of the report, and this more accountable, and this committee more aware of what's happening. And therefore, it needs to be members of Parliament to take the necessary national steps. I don't see this contentious at all, in my view. Thank you.
Honourable members, do I interpret you correctly in saying that there is a consensus on the inclusion of the proposals made with the amendment on 60 days to 90 days? Am I reading you correctly? Honourable members, are we in agreement? Is there a consensus? Alright. Question? Honourable member, Martin, your hand up? No. Okay.
Chairperson, I don't think there is no principal objection. Obviously. For a matter to be titled in the National Assembly. Not at all. I just wonder why it is necessary to publish such a report in a Gazette. I'm just querying that, because remember what we're talking about. We're talking about an independent assessor and processes that are followed. And then, obviously, there is a sort of a governance problem, and it's important for the portfolio committee to be informed about such a governance problem, but is it necessary to publish it in Gazette? So therefore, I'm not entirely convinced that that step is necessary. Although we can talk about the 90 days and we can talk about the saving of the National Assembly, but is that really necessary? Thank you.
All right. I see Honourable, excuse me, Mr. Patel wants to come in.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Now I'm close to retirement, but I don't have the reservation. Look, one would say the issue is publishing such important as that is in a political act. Now, if one opinion is asking the question, that since if the committee agrees that it will be tabled in the National Assembly, whether it's not necessary, whether it's not necessary, my answer would be not really, because once it comes to Parliament, it will be public. The intention of the policy was to make that report public.
Okay. The main reason for publishing the report in Gazette is for public information. Did I hear you correctly? All right. Honourable Member Mata, Honourable Member Waters, and Honourable Member Suena, in that order. Please raise your voice, Honourable Member Mata.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. Accept my apologies. Chair, I just joined the debate. I read this over the video that was sent. I thought it was making sense. I don't think the administrative processes that are necessary to entrench and encourage accountability need to be eliminated on the basis of cost. I just spoke to Honorable Killian. She says the Gazette issue would escalate cost volume, cost problem of cost. I was thinking that the intention of the Act, both the Primary Act and whatever that we are amending here, is intended to enhance whatever available instruments to encourage public accountability and to increase the level acceptable to what is defined as proper governance. And I think anything that goes towards that direction to me makes sense.
Okay. Thank you.
Chairperson, the fact that the provision is already in the Act that says that we have to conduct such reports is there. So the only additional cost actually would be to submit the report to Parliament, which is minuscule in putting a report for members of the committee. So, and you know, given that we are a Parliament of transparency, of accountability, and of openness, I don't see what the problem is with having as it currently is the case, and members of Parliament, or and specifically the members of this committee, receiving the report. Thank you.
Thank you for your input. Honourable Member Suela.
Thank you, Chair. I thought so much so that the intention of this section to want to enhance, but rather to encourage accountability on these matters, and then I see no problem in having it. Though I would support the extension from 6 to 90 days.
I just want to find the reasonableness of 90 days as what is preferred as 60 days. For me, I thought we were for a much more aware state, capable of responding quicker, capable of putting its own necessary resources to attention on what is to be solutions. If you take things that will majority suggest the way forward, these are solutions that the institutions and the ministry must utilize as suggested by the assessor. Why 90 days? Why do we behave like we're not sure that the assessor was going to come up with a report? So these things must have some interconnection. Why 90 days?
The question is, why 90 days? Honorable Dr. Parker.
The reason why we're making the suggestion of 90 days is twofold. Firstly, the administrator does, his or her work, and they provide the report to the ministry at the end of that period. At that point in time, the report also needs to be evaluated. It had to be gone through in terms of checking that there are legal issues, that there are no issues there that could be problematic. It's then once that has been done, the assessor will do whatever he needs to do in order to finalize that report. And that process usually takes approximately a month to really finalize that report. Then the next step is for the minister to confer the council so that he can or she can give the council an opportunity to see that report before it becomes published in any way. And then the minister has to go through the process of approving that report. So it's just in terms of being able to manage that administrative aspect that if one is not exceeding 60 days, it could be problematic. Whereas if one says not exceeding 90 days, it's going to be a situation where it can be managed. And that's not to say that one wouldn't be trying to push it and get it done as soon as possible. But it's really in relation to the practicality of that process that one is requesting a 90 days.
Would you like to add advocate?
Your Chair, the issue of the specific provision, one must be mindful that if you look at the current provision, which is providing that in section 47.1, that the independent assessor appeared by determined by the minister, but not exceeding the 90 days. Produce the investigation and the report. And then if you go to sub 2, it is the minister must, as soon as possible, provide a copy of the report referred to council consent and publish the report. Here you must first consult with the council. The council must be constituted. You can't constitute a council in a very short period of time. There's a whole array of constituencies. There's a whole process before it. And you can't publish that report without, and finalize that report without the input of that council. So it is to deal with that in order to, technically, the report has been provided. And the legislation provides the process to deal with it before it is published for public consumption. Now, in order to avoid that difficulty, it is requested that a slightly longer period is provided so that that process can be dealt with. The publication of the report, everything can be dealt with within that time frame of the 90 days, and allows the opportunity to deal with council, the requirement of consulting with council, read them up to speak, get their comment, see what is the practicality that might face them, and then make it public.
Okay, I recognize Honourable Member Waterson, Honourable Member Mbacha, and Honourable Member Kier. Assist me to close now this discussion so that we can make progress.
Chair, I've actually got a question of clarity from what was said. I understand that the report has to go to the council of concerns. I get that. But what my understanding was after that, and correct me if I'm wrong, was that it was said that the minister then approves the report. Now, if a report comes back from the council, I mean, what happens if the minister doesn't approve the report? First of all, can the minister, I'm not talking about the current minister, a minister of higher education, then sanitize that report in any way? Or are they obliged to publish the report as is when it comes back from the council? Because if he refuses to accept that report, then what? So
I'm
just need clarity
on
that aspect. Thank you.
Okay,
Advocate,
you may come in.
Thank you, Your Honor. The issue here is that we are dealing with a report which also has implications in the sense that if there are legal challenges, then obviously when it's published, it is open and it is dealt with in a process which is now passing to public scrutiny. Now, the issue is not for the minister to rewrite the report, but the minister, in terms of new events also, is taking responsibility of identifying the independent
the purpose is purely to look at it to see if there are any possibilities of claims caused by the finding which had not been verified and which cannot be defended. So it is the approval to publish it in a gazette. Because the minister is an authority who can authorize that. They publish not the content, and then to ensure that there is no liability to the minister, but it is the publication that the minister must authorize.
I'm quite comfortable with the response, but I just wanted to cite one example. I'm not too sure if this case could be one first case, but the University of Waterloo University, I think things there were done differently, but still within the area. I think they were a little bit quicker there. I may not know the circumstances. Maybe it could have been that there were no extraordinary forces that were intending to challenge the report or things, since you have been quickly clean, or one reason or the other, it looked like the report was genuinely looking forward to resolving many things there. But there was a period where 2 months was actually good enough for the department to act. I can't remember exactly what were the circumstances, but things went well in 2 months. I was thinking maybe at some point the department benchmarked these instances and then present them as a futuristic instances that are plausible, leading to fast track the journey of our accountability. But if they say instances sometimes may not necessarily be the same, then I agree.
Okay, thank you. Honourable Member Bata. Honourable Member Killian. Thank you, Chairperson. I think what we've established from the department is just a practicality. Because if we look at the cases when that independent assessor can be appointed in terms of Section 25 of the Municipal Act, then it's clear that sometimes there are very complex issues at the particular institution. And some of the elements such as the council could in fact frustrate the work of the independent assessor. So that could be a very complex matter. And if the council is no longer in operation, then we have to provide just a realistic time frame for the minister to comply with the act so as to consult the council of the relevant institution. So I think everybody is now on the same page as far as that is concerned, Chairman, and I think by amending the period from 6 days and extending it to 90 days, I think the department can in fact and the minister can comply with the act.
Okay, I'm now going to allow all the leader municipalities residents from Parliament and also from the department to say on this. But also I want you to comment on the case study that is presented to us. You're thinking on that case study. You heard about the case study. Okay, fine. Let me start there and we'll end up with you. As advocate in Gohoz, sorry, earlier on I used the wrong name, sorry. Advocate in Gohoz. The Chairperson, just to add one thing on the issue of the time frame. I think if what is said about the provision is the period is not exceeding, which means we can do it within a lesser period of time. So it's more or less safer to give enough time rather than give less time, but to say if you can do it earlier than that, sooner than this, let's say 90 days, then you can be able to do that. Secondly, in respect of the drafting, just for the concern of the committee, I think we'll just have to clean the provision a bit, because when you look into as soon as applicable and then you go back to with it not exceeding, I think we can just clean it up. We have similar meaning, but so just to conform with the drafting standards and all of that. And also
as long as we will be assisted with that drafting before the end of this meeting, so that we all agree on it. Agreed. Thank you very much. And then State Law Advisor, Ma Kaidi.
Thanks, yeah. I agree with the colleagues with regard to cleaning up the provision. So
what I would like to comment on.
So you are in agreement?
The other issue that the committee might want to consider is whether it's necessary to say the for consideration by the relevant committee. Usually when reports are tabled before the assembly refers that report to a relevant committee. So I don't think it's necessary to be so prescriptive in this situation.
It makes sense.
There's
a table, then the report will be refers to the committee for consideration by the committee. So, agreed.
That's
fine. All right. Thank you so much. I'm so happy I allowed you to speak because you can see you are adding value to this process. Now over to Advocate Honshaw from the Department of Higher Education and Training.
I support the colleague's views and also the suggestion. Clearly, the issue of the placement here, obviously, we haven't got facts and now, but the principle is rather that one can put on the paper, as I indicated before, you will get depending on the problem and the complexity related to specific institutions that some issues can be resolved quicker than that. The legislative framework must provide a reasonable time frame for delivery in the worst scenario, because that is a reasonable time frame with which the executive minister has announced authority to table to perform the function. You can't use this scenario because then, even with all the good intentions, the minister will be default most of the time, and therefore the flexibility of possible to deliver and it, because you want to bring the institution stability and full functionality within the letter and framework of an ordinary situation at the institution in the shortest possible timeline. But you must also at the legislature provide a technical solution within a timeframe that is feasible to deliver and not constantly push the minister to be default, because otherwise it becomes inconsistent. So, Chair, the issue here, the principle, is that a 90-day period, taking into account that the good principle that's already entrenched of dealing with the issues with the new council before publishing for public consumption is the driver of the country. And taking the government factor to do that is the reason for the 90 days.
Thank you very much. I think this summarizes then our discussion on this one and the consensus on the 90 days, but also inclusion of the proposal as your subsection 2. Agreed? Right. Shall we then move on to clause 28? We're still dealing with the proposals by Honourable Member Kassim, as a member of this committee. Now the proposal is, as a subsection 4 and subsection 5 to section 49F, providing as follows. I'm told you all have this document, so I don't have to read it. Right, fine. So, Honourable Members, there's a proposal for consideration by the Honourable Members. Inclusion or introduction of subsection 4 and subsection 5 to section 49. Honourable
Members, with regards to this 49F, I was just checking my notes. With the entire clause, we agree. I just want to know whether we are we now opening again the clauses, because maybe other sections as well, there were those clauses where we just think everything is just a matter of going clause by clause and then which was going to be the process for today. This one, that day I was sitting next to Honourable Member Mbaka and said, check for me. That one was filled. If we agreed to that.
So there was a
one on subsection 4, and then subsection 5.
Now we say we need to add new one. 49F,
no,
4 and 5.
We add subsection 4 and subsection 5 to section 49F.
We don't need that.
Come again?
No, we must. We don't need that check because we agree with you.
Okay. The honorable member here reminds us on the consensus that we all arrived at in our previous meeting when we're dealing with this session. So honorable member here,
I can remember that we deliberated on this provision as is contained in the amendment law. And therefore it would really be a pity if we really go back again to insert new sub 4 and sub 5. I think the provision as contained in the amendment is adequate and sufficient to ensure public accountability, and therefore I would suggest that we do not go along with subsection 4 and 5 of the Honourable Gatton's proposal. Thank you.
Honourable Member Mata and Honourable Member Sueva.
Thank you. I just want
Honourable Member Waters.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to check with the officials. Is there a chance that this one, besides of the imposition, the fact that we've done this before? Also, Madam Member Chair, we did say that during this process, even though we've agreed to close certain of the process that we've gone through, but we did agree that the patches will come and agree. I don't know, Richard, is the intent, but we may say no, once we find that maybe it is advising us to a good direction. Is there anything here vehemently in contrast with the member side? Are we going way too far from our initial agreement?
Well, let's move away from agreement, because if customers here was going to say we can go, consensus. I'm sure we're consensus, but yet we're still going to vote. Honourable Member Waters.
Chairperson, thank you. As you know, I don't serve on this committee, but I respect the fact that you have gone through this and you have discussed it. But I think what Donald Kissing was doing was going through the bill once more and passing up what he thought as the MP would assist this committee and the department in the long run. And what I've learned over the years in Parliament, that when you are dealing with a bill, rather grasp the opportunity to make it as good as possible while you're dealing with it, rather than coming back at a later stage. So I understand the frustration of some members saying you've dealt with it, but if it might take 2 or 3 minutes just to deal with it, and then you might have to pass something up and sort of reinforce the bill. So my understanding of this amendment that Honourable Christine is suggesting would be at the end of someone's term or if it's terminated beforehand, is just to submit a report to the minister on those grounds. I mean, I'm not going to, unless you want me to read them, but everyone's got it in front of them. And I just think it would strengthen the hands of Parliament and the minister as to what mandates were not achieved during that person's term of office. So I would appeal to the members to relook at these two subsections, please, with fresh eyes. Thank you.
This talks to a handover report. And I remember Advocate Ngoboli actually saying, where is that part in the piece of legislation that talks about handover report, that the minister will be looking to extract the new basis on the handover report? I know there was such a discussion. Honorable Member Tulu and then Honorable Member Kilia.
I thought it ever give that at the end of the contract of the administrator or whosoever, the social agent, I don't think it is.
exact wording of sub 4. It says, should an administrative term office terminate for any reason? Now, the reason for termination of the office of the administrator, it captured in 49H. And some of them are the following. Constitution of the Council, 1.11, the expiring of term of appointment, death or incapacity. Now, if you have here, for any reason, how will the death administrator comply with the Act? So all I'm saying is, we must be very circumspect with the exact wording. What is the intention? Could Honourable Waters please explain to us what is this, what is their concern, so that we know how to deal with the concern and do so in a sort of a very logical manner. Thank you.
I will now ask all the legal personalities here to come into the space and bring clarity. I will end up with the Honourable Advocate Boshon.
There's something really wrong
with him. God help me. Alright, Advocate Chaperson, my first point would be in reserve of the discussion that we held in the previous meeting. The discussion about the report of the administrator was in terms of 49I, not 49I Chaperson. And that's the clause where we requested to go and enhance it a bit to include something about the report in the previous meeting. Secondly, when I look into the proposed amendment, especially for me is more as far as I'm concerned, should not be in the legislation. Put a report, and this is what you should do in the report, and all of that. You expect it to report, but for me, it's too detailed for legislating. Even if we're talking regulations, then it would make sense for me to include those kind of details. So for me is, I don't know, but I'm not really convinced. But fine, reporting, that's up to the committee to decide whether the reporting is put in the legislation. But the detail of you, give reasons why you did it achieve, and also the first part about the reason for terminating and all that. So I'm not very comfortable trepidating with four.
Thank you for your input, Advocate. To our state law advisor, Mr. Mark Capetti.
Thanks, Chair. I would also express your person my concern with where the amendment is being proposed. Because 49F deals with the powers and functions of the administrator, so the issue of reporting doesn't seem to be to provide there. And then I would also support Member Killian's comment with regard to termination by the reason and the detail that is there. I would think it needs to be in there. I think all that needs to be provided for you is for report of the administrator. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. I will now, remember, I'm now getting first responses and then we'll give you another opportunity for a second bite, but we must then close the matter and make progress again with regard to the close consideration. Advocate Boshon.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The view expressed by the legal advisor is correct, that there is a provision which should be dealt with as an issue of the report is so it is, might not be by outcome. So to refer to a specific report and provide the flexibility that the minister can also identify specific aspects which the report has adhered to, which can be tailor-made for the specific circumstances of that specific case, might be a better solution. Thank you, sir.
Honourable Member Waters and Honourable Member Killian.
Chair, just on the termination of office of the administrator, I take Honourable Killian's point that if someone dies or is incapacitated in any way, it would be a very good administrator that could sort of report to the minister. But my understanding is this, what has been said here, please correct me if I'm wrong, being a sort of a newbie here, that as a matter of course, a report would be submitted. I don't know if there's any obligation by the minister, maybe in regulations, that force a report to be submitted. If we could just get clarity on that. But if that is the case, and I see officials nodding, so I take that as a yes. What is wrong then with the report being tabled before the National Assembly and that? What is wrong with that particular principle? If I may just get clarity on that, please.
Okay, Honourable Member Killian.
I wanted to have clarity from you if we have considered subsection or subclause 5, the proposed one. Because I think we must be very cautious as far as this is concerned. An administrator is taking over the role of the council to investigate and determine what the extent of the problems of the institution are, and those are findings contained in a report but which may not have been tested legally. So consequently, if the administrator has found that some officials were not acting in accordance with ethical principles, etc., and he or she includes such findings in a report, it could lead to legal action. It is the same principle as, for instance, whenever a forensic audit is conducted, any company doing such a forensic audit will always say it's a confidential document, not for publication and not for use in any forum, simply because they have not tested, it is not a legal process to examine the details of, did money go from the institution into a person's bank account, etc. They have not, that's not their role. And the same applies to when you have an administrator. It would be very risky to have that published in the public domain and lead to lawsuits, no doubt. So it would, in fact, work against correcting the ways of the institution if such a report is published in the National Assembly, because that is then an old document. So I would really strongly advise that we do not consider that. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Honourable
Member and Swear. Sir, the local respective views of whether casting as a member of this court. We have had administrators before, and they did provide a report. Unless we speak that those reports were not covered properly. But as it is now, I don't think we have to resolve this question to 100%. And therefore, I believe that these are the sessions of the
time. I will then ask the advocate, okay, Dr. Parker.
In terms of the issue of the publication or need for a report, whenever the administrator is brought in, there is a terms of reference for the administration that is published in the Gazette, which clearly indicates all the aspects of it, and always part of that is the necessity for the administrator to provide a report and to indicate what needs to happen going forward. So it's always there. As was said earlier, if one wants to act, it should just be that a report must be provided rather than a report account, because the details will be in terms of reference. And then in terms of the initiative report being made public. We do agree with the points made by Honourable Killian that there are many aspects within those reports which actually would be detrimental to the institution or would be detrimental in terms of legal action that might happen afterwards. And so we would strongly suggest that it should not be made public in the National Assembly.
Okay. Mr. Patel.
Thank you, James. I mean, I was going to indicate Dr. Vasquez correct in a self-reference. But I think what we need to consider is the issues that they've administered to particular matters. And two is that Parliament does have other means and mechanisms to get. So I mean, I would agree that the report is public for the reasons of it being tested in terms of particular processes. But Parliament does have mechanisms to either through parliamentary questions, et cetera, ask us these issues. In that way, it will give the minister an opportunity of not committing himself or saying anything that may be challenged in court. So, thank you.
Which leads me to the conclusion that subsection 4 and subsection 5 are not supported. Do we have concerns now?
No.
Okay, we will register your dissenting view on this matter. Yeah, okay.
This amendment is also substantive. And really, to be fair to Youssef and to CHE, who by and large have driven most of these amendments in regards to clearing up the legislation so that the fair processes in terms of that. If the committee had considered this, then it wouldn't have to go back to that particular process because they've never had an opportunity of dealing with this particular issue and this report. And it is substantive, covered by itself as the chairman of the council. Thank you.
Right. I have ruled on this one, so I will then proceed now with the clause to clause because we can now with the proposal, right? Whatever we have done. Right, Honourable Members, I take it that you now have a copy of the Higher Education Amendment Bill with you, and then so we will now go clause by clause, starting from clause 1. Clause 1, there is consensus on clause 1.
Just on the definition of adverse findings, I believe it was an issue raised that we need a definition for adverse. We're dealing with definitions, right? Okay. So is there going to be an insertion of a definition for adverse findings?
Remember, we don't study our questions in discussion, so that's why I say, okay, but where there's questions, we have agreed on the inclusion of adverse findings. So we don't study them. Adverse? We did not agree. See, I have scribed right here, so I would like to refer to the notes because we now need that information. Honourable Member Killian?
Yes, yes and no. There was a discussion about adverse findings. But we don't see the need for adverse findings to be described because it is just natural. It's common knowledge what adverse findings mean. I mean, we have it from Auditor General repeatedly. Negative findings. So why we need to have a definition for that, it really bowls me over. But can I just say, I really need you to just confirm that we are now going to work with two documents. The one is the bill as it was published and referred to us. That is B. Get this? B36215, and then we're also going to simultaneously consider B36A-215, which is the proposed amendment that we have agreed to, so that we know, because they see exactly which of the definitions have been amended, and if there was a need for a new definition, it would have been included there, but it's not there. So clearly there is no agreement on that one. And we have had an extensive discussion on what that we're finding. Thank you.
Okay. Just want to check if you all have got a copy of this. I would say, yeah, this one. I think that went from this one. But then members must also check on the original bill and this one. Agreed? So that we don't make mistakes. Because I was just using the original bill, but I think it will assist us in time if we look at the report by the department and then vis-a-vis the original amendment. Advocate?
Just for your purposes, I think it's important that the bill consists of states that one has been touched. This one that has been referred to as B36A has no status. It is just crafted in the form of a so-called able, and it contains the issues raised by this committee, and it was drafted as a joint effort between the sale advisors, parliamentary law advisors, and the departmental law advisors, as the wording or the understanding of the issues raised in this committee. As I said, it got no status, so we can't really call it the able at this point in time. It will only become the able once this committee voted on it and agreed to that. That is a draft for the committee to consider the finalization and reflects the amendments that have been referred to the legal team in order to assist the committee in coming to a final decision.
Alright, and the best as the advice of this one. Let's use the amendment bill, but we can use this one. Whatever. Okay, fine. So we're going back to the amendment bill?
Also the date on it is 14 April, because there's been a previous one in the previous meeting, which was referred to March.
So we're using the latest, which is the one that is 14 of April. Thank you very much for the advice. So we are told. One. Yes, your objection is noted. Can you raise that? Then we move to clause two. We move to clause three.
Consensus.
then move to clause 4. There's nothing on clause 4. And then we move to clause 5. Come again? I'm telling you, checking. We're moving from clause 4 to clause 5 to clause 6.
I just wanted you to hear.
We're not moving for adoption.
Okay.
Just moving from one clause to the next. Then, any other maybe mental clarity?
Jefferson, I was just actually looking at clause 3, the one that we have amended, and therefore is the one section contained in the amendment of the deleted. And then the new one from that relates to the minister's responsibility as far as policy is concerned. And I think that is a, we remember we had extensive deliberations on that, and we've come to a principled agreement in the committee on that one. And it is captured on this informally labeled document, which is what the committee across party lines actually agreed. It's just worded that way. So we have not adopted it yet. We just moving through the clause of language. Yes.
Chair, for clarity, I thought we're adopting clause by clause. We weren't adopting in plural until the earliest meeting.
I know that at the beginning, that was my announcement, that we adopted clause by clause. But then I was then corrected by the legal advisor to say, when we adopt, we'll adopt clause by clause and the entire in the same meeting. I was corrected. Remember, it said...
Yeah,
supervised process as far. I thought there was agreement on adoption, and where there's objection of Mr. Walker's PA, that objection gets looted. And I think the point that you were making is a specifying the settler, and it is adopted or agreed upon with his amendment, then amendment, you should say, we agree or we adopt this clause with the amendment. But I don't see the difference between agree and if we must agree and amend and adopt them, it's one and the same.
Okay, fine. So there was a proposal that we start afresh, and there was also a proposal that let's proceed now and then agree, or where we differ, we note that the university is 25. Honorable member, Killian, just to help you in the process, I think just to make sure that we do it correct, procedurally correct, I would suggest that we have. In fact, pose the question. You have both the question on clause one, and there was disagreement. The VA objected to that one. Let us do the same for clause two, so that we have a record of on which clauses we have unanimity and where we differ. So I would like to propose that we do go back to clause two and to three. In the case of clause three, there is a new clause proposed. And I think we should all have understanding if that is what we've agreed to in principle when we had deliberations on that clause. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. All right, and then I know clause one we are done, we all agreed, and then
the location.
Clause one, we have accepted the amendment, and there was a disagreement. Objection. Right? Now, clause two, here we accept. And then clause three, there are amendments. Do we accept the amendments? Accepted. No objection. Congratulations. And then we move to clause four. Do we accept the four L's?
L's?
Accept. Okay, fine. And then we move to clause five. There are amendments that were proposed. Do we accept the amendments on clause five?
On this one, could I just have an understanding? The reference to section is that subsection.
I think the drafters of this document should
please do that one.
Where you say omit section and to insert section.
The original bill provides that in that specific line the word subsections.
Okay.
Now one of the subsections is now deleted, and therefore it would be incorrect because one was then it referred to the plural while there's only one, and it's been published in the actual the people, the outcome of that process. Therefore, it is a technical amendment, but it is.
Okay. So we accept the amendment. Any objection? Or Mr. Marcaveni, I told you one coming.
Thank you. I think that Honorable Killian is righteous in the to be accurate, we should be saying to omit subsections and to insert
subsection, because it limits a subsection. So the wedding that you said that we omit in subsections and into substitute subsection.
So
I think we
lawyers to agree on this one. Agreed?
Sir, I thought that is the proposed wording is to omit the wording that in the law which is referring to sections, and to insert section because we delete the one subsection and we renumber it to 5 capital 8. So therefore the proposed agreement, the proposal that is in the draft document is the one that I think we all agreed to as a technical amendment.
Well, on the original deal, you read subsection and after subsection 5. So what are we agreeing upon? We retain subsection but remove the S, because initially, you know, actually the main issue is the S, which talks to plurality of this. But then, shall we agree that we then retain subsection?
I think there's just a little confusion. I understand what the African Boshoff is saying. It's that it becomes a singular, and therefore the reference is must be removed. That's not the issue. It's just if you read the amendment bill, it doesn't refer in the amendment bill to section. It refers to subsection. So that is just, that was why I posed the question, is that correct?
Remember, there was already an intervention on this matter by CPO advisor. So I wanted to avoid repeating ourselves, né? So that we at least keep time.
Section is here in the world and spend and on the word. So the Lord Mayor is correct. All we need to say is to take away subsection and put in subsection.
We actually have that picture on that one. So moving forward, I will really stop people who are repeating what have already been said. Agreed? At least I'm telling you so that you don't think I'm being rough. Thank you very much. Shall we then move to clause, we were busy with clause 5, and we have accepted the proposed amendment in clause 5. Agreed?
Yes,
it's not difficult to say this consensus if you mind. Alright, agreed. So we move to clause 6. We accept clause 6 as is. And then clause 7, we accept on the bill, on the original amendment bill. And then clause 8. In line 31, there was a correction of the removal of the comma, and to be accept. Clause 11, we accept MPs.
Okay, we move to clause 12, as is, with amendments. So with amendments. All right, we accept the amendments as proposed. We then move to clause 13, accept, as is, thank you very much. We move to clause 13, accept, and then 14, as is, and then we move to clause 15, as is, we move to clause 16, as is. Okay, clause 16, there's an objection there. We take note of the objection, otherwise we accept. Alright, then we move to clause 17, as is. Clause 18, as is. Clause 19, accepted as is. And clause 20, I see there's a shall they and must. Have we accepted these two as they are here? The shall and then must. Or the shall is deleted? Okay. So there's an amendment of the shall. Okay, but how small? If we acknowledge an amendment of a comma, then shall is deleted. Okay? So we accept the amendment. The shall and must on the
no.
As is. Exactly. Shall and must.
Yeah.
We accept both.
Yeah.
Bosho? I'm okay, Bosho? We accept as is, eh? So we have both appearing shall, so must. Okay, this is the business. So, okay. How are we being advised then? Okay, the shall. Okay, it belongs to an amendment. Is it okay? It's not an amendment. It is the amendment of the Principal Act. Am I right? So, okay, fine. L is. Thank you very much. And then we move to everyone to take L to see. Don't have anything to come back to what I'm later. So we move to clause 21. As is. 22. As is. Clause 23. As is. Clause 23. Clause 22.
Clause 22 is the one that the Honorable Catherine has written, and that we have reworked. So we have to then just make sure that we adopt clause 22 with the agreed amendment.
Okay.
Some of it was as contained in Honorable Catherine's submission, but others were in fact not adopted. So we have to be very clear what we are adopting when we get to clause 22. 22 is fine. I think we have unanimity. And it is just for clarity purposes too that we should perhaps all agree what we are reading into. We're creating a new subsection. The minister must, as soon as practicable, but not exceeding 90 days of receiving the report referred to in subsection 1, provide a copy of the report to the council concerned, table the report before the National Assembly, and publish the report in the Gazette. That is what we've agreed to, from what I can recall. Thank you.
Alright, here we even ask for the recrafting, remember, of that clause, of the sub clause. We have said at least what we all agree on what has been recrafted. We should know exactly how it has been recrafted. To exclude these other, remember, other words that we said they were not necessary. And then have you assisted us in that? I suppose we agreed to that. At least by the end of this should be having that. So you should know what it is that we are accepting.
Okay. Can I propose for consideration of the committee, should be that the proposed up to is as follows.
28 of receiving the report referred to in Section 1, provide a copy of the report, and the part that in quote bracket will remain as to the council concerns, and then a new session there, an underlined table, it before the National Assembly. No, that part was like a committee, I said that part comes out for consideration by the relevant committee. So it will be before the Assembly, and then continuous and publish such report in the calendar.
So we accept a clause 22 with the amendments. Accepted?
Yes.
Accepted. Accepted? Queen, I don't hear you. Accepted?
No, sir, there is people. I don't want to. There is a pathway because our government is not the community. The pathway is for us that if you make it a public document before, I put in that in French because it has not been published in the because if you publish it in the Gazette, it is not in another country.
No, on 22 we agreed, remember, because we're going to be transparent and for me it said where we did not agree is only the next clause, which is clause 28 sub-session or sub-clause. 4 and 5. Yeah, okay. Right, agreed. So, clause 23? Accepted, as is. Sub, I'm sorry, clause 24? Accepted? Sub 25? Sorry, clause 25? Okay. Accepted with objection from another member of the water. Right. Then with a clause 26, accepted? So you object 25 and 26?
Yes.
Okay, right, with objection? Right. You must also help us with the capturing of this objection. So we say, majority accepts with objection from the DA. Is that how we put it? That's how it's supposed to be kept up. Or with one objection, or what do we say? Well, you should know how to capture it also. Must be correctly. First time around. The format. Yeah, I want the format now, so that we all, you know. How do we capture it?
My understanding is you record the parties that object to certain clauses.
Right, so that's fine. So we follow that format. Then, clause 27, accepted, as is, and then 28, the proposal for amendment there. After many times it says the phrase, after taking into account the report of the administrator. So do we accept with the amendment? Accepted. We have already accepted. Remember, we've discussed, we're not opening any discussion. Okay, just need clarity, because we have deliberated on the submission by Honorable Kasim.
No, that's why
I'm understanding what I
off.
Yeah. So now we're talking about the amendment where we have all accepted, because if Mr. Kasim is proposing inclusion of new sub-clauses, and we have not accepted that one. But then we are proceeding with the present objection.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But do you know, I think there was consensus except that now we're not agreeing to addition of the subclause. Right, Mr. Proposal. We object because we don't agree to include the new clauses. So I want to please guide us properly here. There was acceptance, but there are new proposals that we are not agreeing upon. Otherwise, we accept as appearing. So. Okay, alright. No, that's fine. Now, so this engagement is sharpening also our minds.
to deal with. We now move to clause 29. Accept as is. We move to clause 30. Accept as is. Clause 31. With amendment. Do you accept with the proposed amendment? That's clear. We have clause 31. So we move to clause 32. LE. Clause 33. With amendment. Do you accept with the proposed amendment, which is on page 21 in line 33, omit institutions and substitute with colleges? Accepted? With the amendment. Thank you very much. Then we move to clause 34. Yes, clause 34, LE. Clause 35, LE. No, with amendments. Do you accept the proposed amendments? Accepted. Then we move to clause 36, LE. Clause 37. You can go back to 36. I'm doing just that. Alright, yes. Clause 36. Do you accept this clause with the amendment? Okay, 36 is amendment, and then 37 with amendment.
Objection.
Okay. We then take vote of objection on a member matter. Objection by DA and DSA. Okay, then, yes. Right now, the good members, shall we listen?
Okay, just the issue on page 22 is also in the proposal and an insertion of a new clause, which is amendment to section 5 capital B of the Act. So here is just the insertion of that clause in the board.
Which clause is the one? 37.
It is it will come in on the as a new clause 36. Clause 36.
Kind of property, so we listen some of the words of the Indian Democratic
Party.
If you could speak direct into his mic.
Sure, I'll do that. That's better.
Yes.
There is a proposal to introduce a new clause, which will now become clause 36. It will mean that the effect of all the other clauses, although we will still refer to it on each clause number as it is contained in the bill, will now be in the bill, be moved on to become 37, 38, 39. But it means that the committee must accept that there is this new clause 36, which will then also mean that the other clause 36, where there will also be a few amendments debate in, as I said, it will be corrected in the next version of the bill, but it is a new clause that has been accepted now by the committee. Now, you've dealt with clause 36, which is at the top of the next page. If you, unfortunately, have page numbers, but it is in the document you would find clause 35, and then the next thing you will find a new clause, which is the insertion of the new clause 36, and here I don't think you've covered that aspect when you went through. You've dealt with clause 36, but that's on the next page, yeah? Because there's now a new clause that will be introduced, and that clause will now become the new clause 36. But you must adopt first that this is a new clause, and then it will have a carry through effect. Address clause 36, which is on the next page, but you haven't dealt with this specific clause on the bottom of the previous page.
Alright, on clause 36, he accepts the proposed new clause.
The issue there is there was no amendment to section 65B in the original law. It is, and the committee deliberated on the impact of the requirements for private institutions, and then there was a decision that the existing bill or the existing act, section 65B, must be amended or brought in as a new clause. Now, in order to deal with it, it is reflected here as a new clause. But you will find in the substance of the amendment that it also refers to section 36, because once it will now be incorporated into the Bible, then it will become the new clause 36. But you still got a clause 36 on the next page, which is also been amended. And that is the clause that you refer to when you refer to clause 36. What I've tried to just draw the attention of the committee is that you must also adopt the new clause, which is reflected on this document, and although it also refers to clause 36, I'll try to explain that, and that might cause the confusion. But the work of the committee is to adopt the new clause, or to accept the new clause, and then it will deal with the amendments to clause 36, which is also in the bill.
Now, on clause 36, the new section that will accept this amendment. Then we move to the clause 36, which is the new clause.
Thank you. Yeah, of course.
Just a DA camera.
Honourable members, shall we reconvene?
already has also been re-energized, can now proceed again. Right? Thank you. Now shall we go back to this after clause 35? Do we accept an insertion of the new clause which is appearing there? Do we accept? Right. Shall we then move to clause 56? Okay, we move to clause 36. Do we accept clause 36? As amended. Thank you. We then move to clause 37. Do we accept as amended? Okay, we take note of the objection. EA. And the EFF. Sambata? Okay. All right, so we move to clause 38. We accept 38 as accepted. Then we move to clause 39. We accept. Clause 40. We accept? 41? 42? 42 with the amendment? Do we accept clause 42 with the amendment? Do we then accept clause 43?
Yes.
As is? Clause 44?
Yes.
As is? Clause 45 with the amendment?
Yes.
I haven't said that. Okay. Indeed. We are done. Yes, Honorable Member, here.
I just want clarity about the memorandum. Was it perhaps necessary for the committee to also revise the memorandum in view of the changes that were effected? And I was wondering if the legal team considered how we should structure the different amendments. Either have also had a very careful scrutiny of the effect on the memorandum, because we can't have the memorandum as is if we have adjusted some of the provisions of the amendment law. So have they considered that, or is that a matter that we still need to consider? Because according to rules, we have to also submit, if necessary, an amended memorandum.
Thank you very much for the question. Advocate.
Georgia, I think the rule is obviously now given the guidelines.
She just raised her voice.
The rule is now providing the guidelines for some consequential changes. In the last meeting, the parliamentary advisor and the state advisor actually indicated that there will also be some, or the possibility exists that some changes can even be made to the long title in order to deal with it, and also the index that is provided in the bill. Because there's a new clause that has been inserted, I don't think it necessarily affects the layout of the Act itself, but we will also just consider that as well. And then the memorandum is the other one that you mentioned, Mr. Achilles mentioned, as consequential changes. That your legal team will consider all this when we are now getting the file for what is called the B, or the A bill and the B bill in place, which will then reflect all the necessary consequences of changes later.
just vote this forward. Because we have to, as a committee, in terms of Bill 251, submit our report. We should submit the bill that has been agreed to by it. If it's not been agreed on the bill as referred to it, and see the supporting memorandum which was introduced with the bill, or if the memorandum has been amended by the committee, the amended memorandum. Now, clearly, we still need to do that because, as it is, we have introduced some new clauses and there's a consequential numbering, etc. So, how do we move forward from here? Do we vote on the content of the bill, excluding the memorandum, so that we adopt the bill, and then ask the legal team to look at the implications on the memorandum, and then we come back to adopt the amended memorandum?
Thank you, Chairperson. I also wanted to have speaking subject to correction. We will note that the PA has objected to about 3 or 4 clauses in the EFFP 1. Is it possible for this committee to check the decision, the reasons for the objection for record, or we just accept that they have objected and did it like that? I'm just saying.
Just to the last one, I think if we check the reasons, we're going to open up a fresh debate about this. We've already debated when amendments were suggested, and therefore, if they don't accept the debate or they were not convinced, that is why they are objecting. So, at this stage, I think we should note the objection, because to go back and deliberate, if they give reasons, we'll try and convince them again. That's opening up the same thing. So we just move the objection because the debate has already taken place.
Now it is important to deal with the process, and in my view, the next meeting is there to now get all the amendments agreed that has been accepted in principle today, as well as the memorandum and the consequential changes thereto. And at that next meeting, which is, I think it's the 4th of May, at that meeting, all the documentation will then be in place and the committee will then vote on the bill as a whole, which will include the memorandum, which is part of the bill as a whole. At the moment, the memorandum is not part of the clause by clause. It will only be affected when it comes to the vote of the bill as a whole.
Meaning that we will be seeing the amended memorandum for the first time next Wednesday. I'm sorry, on the board, sorry, follow me. Or is there a better way of managing this? For instance, circulating these two members so that come the fourth, as they adopt them, they should adopt something that they understand and that they have seen before.
We will definitely make it available from the legal teams before the time. In fact, we will do it as soon as possible, Chair, and make it available to the Secretary of the Committee for distribution to the members. That the actual tabling of that document will be the day when the vote on the bill as a whole will take place. And because it is consequential changes, it is just reflecting what is in the decision that has been, the decisions that were taken on the specific clauses you've included today.
Okay, do you have another follow-up question
on
the Honourable Member Hillier?
I think that gives us clarity that we will not do the adoption of the bill because the memorandum forms part of the bill. But we can obviously not do that today with a memorandum that is outdated. So
then agree that we will come back to vote on the entire bill, including the amended memorandum, which will then be, in terms of the rules, submitted together with all the other elements of the amendment bill.
Thank you very much. You actually raised a very critical matter. So we now go moving forward that also the memorandum will be amended in line with the amendments that we have accepted. All right. Thank you very much. That looks like we've come to the end of the clause by clause process. So the department, I'm sure, can be excused if they have other things to do, but we will then let the committee remain to consider our own minutes of the meeting of 2016.
I'm curious if you will excuse me, please. I wasn't part of the committee, so I'm really voting for the minutes. All right, but thank you very much for your warm welcome, Chair. I really enjoyed it today. Thank you very much.
This is the spirit that was keeping in the other house. This is the cool one. It can benefit the whole nation. Same applies to EFF. Any other announcements?
that were directed to my office for your attention. I'm talking about the one on shared utilization and securing of the Denel SWAT website. Well, this one, acknowledging our contribution. You remember we wrote to the minister after we've been there and we identified the challenges confronted by the college. We then wrote to the minister to request the minister to fast track, to intervene and fast track the processes where they are allocated a site to build a college. So our intervention has yielded good results. So this is also another area where you, the committee will play an impact. So thank you very much for your cooperation and for your quality output. And obviously, which has brought this quality outcome. So thank you very much. The other one, well, it's a complaint by a tender employees. What we have, I would like to propose to you that in a local going there, let's call the management to come and talk to us about the matters. Maybe, you know, as they come and bring us a report on these matters, we'll then be able to make appropriate recommendations that will bring about a change also in this area of agree? We call them to come. The other, there are many that we receive from Sitan. The other one is construction center. Even there we received serious allegations. They've made allegations until the people come here and also we verify ourselves, validate information and make recommendations on the improvement of the situation in this system, because our interest is in ensuring that the beneficiaries benefit fully and without any wastage, because any wastage is expensive. So in these ones, we will call them to come and account to us as a committee, and then we will make recommendations on corrective measures. So, okay, construction center will be appearing before the committee on the 25th, but I'm thinking of also content on the 25th. If there are others that, because some people find that they're reaching to individual members. And then, it is not, okay, for those concerned to receive the attention of the committee, I think those must be forwarded to the secretary so that we can call all of them and then they account to us on both their financial and performance management. Non-financial management. So I think this is what we would like to share with the members as a correspondence. I don't know if you've got any other correspondence that has come directly to you that you'd like to share with us. None. Right? Honourable members, thank you so much. Okay, law is completely different. It has got its own jargon. And also the drafting and how you also interpret, you know, you have to rely almost 100% on the legal advisors. So up to now, I think we have been advised correctly, and then we will then take the process forward to the 4th of May, where we will then be adopting, you know. After that, I know that the bill has then been tabled in the House for referral to the SCOP. So we'll table the report of the committee and thereafter, then the House will then refer it here. Must be tabled, and then I'm told we will then have the opportunity to debate on the report, and then the report will be referred by the Speaker to the SCOP for their consideration. So far, so good. I don't know if you have anything to say, your observations, to register your observations.
No, I mean, actually,
due to budget. what they have.
Now I'm not okay, but thank you so much for your good work. Let's keep up the good work. Thank you, Stephanie.
Hello. Thank you.